Good afternoon and welcome to Lunch with Leaders. I'm Cindy Morgan, the Vice President of Learning and Organizational Development, and I'm so happy that you chose to join us today. I hope you can sit back, hope you have your lunch there, maybe you can turn off Outlook, and really just take a nice couple of deep welcoming breaths. I'm really happy that you are here and we have a great show ahead. So, what's Lunch with Leaders? Lunch with Leaders is where we come together in community, leaders across Penn Medicine, and share with one another. We hope that you can share and learn as much from each other in the chat as we do from our esteemed panelists. Just to remind you, all the back episodes can be found on the Lead Strong webpage. So if you missed the specific episode, don't miss it. You can go and watch it podcast. You can watch the live cast again. Please, if you want to go back and revisit a certain episode, we'd love to see you there on the Lead Strong website. So let's go mailbag. Thanks so much for tuning in. For those of you who joined us for our first show back in fall 2021, we had Dr. Zeke Emanuel, and boy, people really liked him. I had people who don't share Zeke's politics call me after the show, and they're like, hey, that guy, I kind of liked him. I related to him a little more than I thought he was going to. He really brought his head, his heart, his brain. So I have to say, he really tripped me up when I mentioned Survivor, and then he mentioned that he was on a precursor to Survivor. So I went back, I scoured the internet to find Zeke's turn as an Oxford student turned reality show contestant on the pre-survival days. And I found it. It's on the BBC. It's called Get Out of That. And here's young Zeke, Oxford student, helping out these Brits figure out everything in the woods. And I would just say to you that while it's a definite fish out of water story, without Zeke, they probably wouldn't have survived. He was fantastic. Here's a picture of him. This is like just a kind of a moment where all the Brits are so civilized and riding their bicycles from one challenge to another. And there's Zeke running down the hill as fast as he can to try to figure out what the next challenge would be and how to solve for it. If you missed it, you can watch Zeke on the replay. We got some great feedback. Thanks, Jeff Milstein, for tuning in as always. I like that Zeke really sweats politics and navigating them as much as many of us do. So he shared some great advice, so don't miss it. Youngin, I think we have some commercials today. Would you take it away?
Sure. Great to see everyone. Thank you for joining and spending the next hour with us. So a few announcements. So first is the OSHA-mandated COVID-19 training. So OSHA is a little late to the education game, the COVID education game, but you can still get credit for what you know already by taking this 10-minute quiz, or you can take the full module if you want the details. All employees are required to take this training, and it's already been assigned to your KL learning plan. So please complete it by October 31st. For new hires after August 2nd, they have 90 days to complete. Next one, do you remember Dana Ban? She was one of our Lunch with Leaders guests. The last time we announced the course, it was sold out in minutes. So we have another chance for you. So she has another presentation skills workshop coming up. It's a 90-minute session over 2 days on October 5th and 6th. So sign up for yourself or recommend to someone on your team. Next one, another great virtual training. This is a 4-hour session, also on October 5th, on basics of project management. There'll be practical tips, examples, templates to help get results on your project. We often get this request, so this is your chance, and this might be just what someone on your team might be looking for. And then last but not least, we have the book club. It's finally here. It's next Wednesday. The deadline for ordering the book has passed, but you can still register, join, and if you have questions for the author, please send them to me. And finally, the CMEs. So we continue to get some questions, but the first most important thing is that you need to have an active profile on the CME system linked with your name, credentials, and the cell number. So once that's set up, you can text today's code, which is 73056. To 215-398-6728. You can text in now for the next 24 hours. The event handout is on the Lead Strong website. For questions, reach out directly to the CME office. Thank you. And now sit back and enjoy.
Thanks, Youngin. Really appreciate all your work on the show and just you. So welcome, everyone. Let's talk about today's show. I think it may be the show you need and might not even know it. I know for me, as we started to prep with the guests, I was really happy that we were talking about this because even I need some of this. So go with me in your mind. A couple months back, June 2021, world was opening up. Summer was ahead of us. Things were starting to feel a little more normal. So many more of us were back in the office. Some of you never left the office, but you were getting some of your colleagues back without masks. We had a few glorious in-person events where we could be seeing one another's full faces. The energy was palpable. Hope was everywhere. Well, Gallup's been doing some polling of employees in the workforce. And at that time, they did a poll that estimated that 58% of all United States workers said that they were thriving versus struggling or suffering. It was the record high since COVID had started. July came in. With it, the Delta variant. And while they repolled and while 62% were concerned, 52% were still remaining hopeful. And so there's where July crept in, and with it, a lot of super mixed up feelings around feeling some hope and yet feeling a lot of worry. And then we were trying to manage people's health. We had shifting public policy. There was uncertain social behavior setting in to mask, to not mask, mask protests. I mean, you name it. Vaccine protests, we've had it all this summer. And what's interesting is this trend, we even started to see it show up here at Penn Medicine. Not surprising, it's sort of the kind of microcosm of the broader macro system that we all operate in. Last week or 2 weeks ago when Zeke was on and we did our poll, you showed signs of even greater exhaustion. First poll back, our negative emotions went up to 62%. From 46% since the last show in July. So I don't know, I was feeling all of these things as well, and I was death scrolling Instagram a couple days ago, and I was trying to figure out how I'm doing, because often I look at Instagram to be like, how are they doing? Is that how I'm doing? Because sometimes it's just a little confusing. And it's kind of a COVID hobby, this death scrolling. But I saw this quote by Dr. Amy Cuddy and Jill Ellen Riley from the Washington Post. Casey, maybe you could put it up. If you're experiencing increased sadness or anxiety, along with an urge to dramatically change something about your life, or some of the markers of pandemic flux syndrome, it's a thing. You're not alone. Many people feeling such tensions, although human beings are more resilient than we generally appreciate, it takes a lot of time for us to stably recover, reflect, and recalibrate. Pandemic flux syndrome, bang, it had a name. I know many of you are so worn out, and I'm just so in awe that you keep going. We're all really digging deep to find our resilience and remain adaptive, resonant leaders. And really the first step is really naming how we're doing and talking about it. And that's why we have today's show. So here are the objectives. If you're feeling some of this, you're my people, and I'm really glad you're here because today's for you. Here's what we hope to accomplish in our conversation. I love hearing from you, and I want to hear how you're doing, so I hope you'll feel free to share in the chat, shoot us some questions. And why don't we see how you actually are doing today? Why don't you pull out your phones? Let's check in. Using your phone, I'd like you to text Penn Medicine 918 to 22333. You'll be in the survey. And again, as always, what emotion are you feeling today? And while you go ahead and let me know, I'm very excited to introduce our esteemed panelists. Last September, we had two out of these three guests featured in a show discussing being a resonant leader in emotional intelligence. It remains one of our most watched shows and loved shows. So backed by popular demand, we have Dr. Deb Driscoll, our Senior Vice President and Vice Dean for Professional Services. And we have Fran Johnston, who is the CEO of the Telios Institute. And joining us today is Lunch with Leaders Superfan and our Chief Nursing Officer at Princeton, who is also serving as the VP of Patient Services, Sheila Kent. So ladies, thank you so much. You can come on camera and unmute yourself. I'm really glad you're here. Let's take a look to see how the audience is feeling today. We'll see if it matches some of what we're hearing from the Gallup survey. Exhausted, tired, hopeful. I like that. That's dejected, worn, edgy. Ready, optimistic, unsupported. I'm sorry. Happy, good. Deb, Gila, do these words surprise you?
Not at all.
Not one bit.
We are hearing from many of the front line. They are just feeling exhausted right now. But I'm loving seeing hopeful there.
Me too, and it stays big. Motivated is there too. Awesome. Well, Fran, thanks for coming back. And I always appreciate you tapping into your expertise. So can you tell us more about this pandemic flux disorder? Like, do we all have this? What do you think the underlying feelings are, and how are people doing coping with some of the stress?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me back. I can't believe it's been a year. Like, and what a year it's been.
Woo!
Ruth. I mean, right, Deb, right, Cindy? Right, Sheila? I mean,
yes.
No, I don't think anybody expected to still be in this level of stress and this level of suspended animation in a way, you know, a year later or 18 months later since the beginning of COVID. So, what's happening? Well, first of all, a lot of disappointment. As you said, Cindy, we thought we were going to, air quotes, go back to normal in July. And then that goal line got moved is how people describe it to me. And that kind of hope and then disappointment is a big part of a roller coaster that maybe we'll talk about later. People thought, and then some people did go, air quotes, back to normal, and it didn't really change. It wasn't as big an event as they were expecting, like, because they're still really stressed, and now we have staffing issues, and we have, you know, an influx of, you know, patients coming in, and so, like, it wasn't the job they left, let's say. So there's some, you know, forecasting errors in that. And then there's what is also super sad to me, and I guess unexpected from a year ago perspective, is a degree of divisiveness that's sort of showing up because people are exhausted and disappointed and kind of feeling really grumpy at one another by groups of people. So that adds a whole nother layer of stress and toxicity that maybe, again, we'll talk later. So we certainly have to stay on the game here of self-management and figuring out how to stay connected to our teams and kind of manage this emotional roller coaster that we're on.
How is stress looking in these scenarios? Is it looking different? Maybe we can go to the next slide and hear more about what you're seeing and how people are managing or not managing their own stress. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so this slide is work that we've been doing at Tilios, especially by my colleague Gretchen Schmelzer. Highly recommend her Journey Through Trauma book, which is now all of us. So what happens to your emotional intelligence when you're going through extreme stress? So we've had 18 months of extreme stress. So we've adapted, we're adapting. But these are some of the things that happen. Numbing and hypervigilance. So two sides of an emotional coin in terms of response to the environment are big different ways of responding from us on the self side. We are getting less empathetic. And with stress in terms of social awareness, less empathetic and also less able to see really what's happening, because part of our stress response is to have our perceptual field narrow. And then it increases confirming bias. So, oh, there they go again, or, oh, this is never going to get better. Whenever you see it, one little stimulus, right, or a big stimulus, you start to see a pattern that leads you to despair. For many people, and I think this is especially important for healthcare leaders, you can get to, like, I have to do this myself, right? Actually, we under support ourselves with the resources that might be around us because we're kind of going off to solve the problem in kind of a superhero sort of way. I'll get into the solutions a little bit later, but we can get kind of into all or nothing thinking and stuff like that.
I'd love to ask the audience, what do you think? Are you seeing pandemic
effects? Oh, he froze. Or maybe we froze. Who knows?
Yeah. I I think Cindy was asking the audience to see what you're seeing and to put it in the chat box about what kinds of things you're seeing with your staffs.
Yeah, and with themselves, their own reactions.
Correct.
Yeah, and while people are putting in chat, Deb and Sheila, what are you experiencing? I'll go to Deb first.
Definitely the stress level is high. And it's high for all of us. We, as Cindy said, we really thought in June and early July, we were, you know, the world was going to look a little different for us. But I think that the vaccine mandate put a lot of stress on us, especially the leaders that had to reach out and have difficult conversations with staff. I think emotions were running very high. You know, some of our staff had colleagues that really didn't want to get vaccinated, and they've been working with them for years. But then there's, and they feel sad that they're leaving. And then there's colleagues who, you know, aren't getting vaccinated, and then they are angry with them, right? Because they're vaccinated and they're taking care of unvaccinated patients. We have many staff and faculty that have children that are going back to school who aren't vaccinated, and they're worried about what that's going to be like. And then they've got to kind of figure out what their life is going to be like, because, right, it's balancing school, work, family. And then at work, we've got real staffing shortages now. And this early retirements, some of our staff are leaving for new jobs. So it is a really, really stressful time. And I think Fran mentioned empathy. I get it. I feel it too. And as a leader, though, I have to be strong, but yet I really do understand. And I'll give you an example, and then I'm going to turn it over to Sheila. I'm someone who likes to be on the offense. I'm the quarterback that's going to take that ball down the field, and I want to go across the goal line. What I'm thinking about is that I'm typically very proactive, like to anticipate and be very strategic. But I found myself recently getting defensive and reactive, and that is not who I am, and it's not who I want to be. And yet I think it's the circumstances. You know, if you're at your desk or at work 12, sometimes 13, 14 hours, meeting after meeting, trying to manage your emails, trying to manage the problems that come up every day in our lives as leaders, it takes its toll, especially given everything that's happening in the world around us. So, you know, I realize that I now have to be really even more self-aware to prevent that from, you know, deteriorating, because it's really just not, it's not an effective management style. It's not productive. Really not who I am. But Sheila, I'll turn it over to you.
I think that, I think it's worse for healthcare workers at this point in time. We're in a profession that takes care of other people. We fix everything, especially in nursing. You know, you fix things. That's what you do all day long. And, you know, and so I think we're so used to doing that, that this has become a bigger burden on us. We can't fix what's happening with our teams. You know, we can do things. We can do a lot of different activities, and I think we're going to discuss that a little later. But my leaders and myself, we're feeling tired. We're feeling a little cranky. I have to confess, when Cindy asked me to do this, I went and listened to the presentation from last year, and I called her up. I said, "Oh, I can't do this." She said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Because I do none of the self-care that I'm supposed to be doing that was all talked about in that whole thing. I am the worst offender of self-care, right?" So I think that our leaders are just feeling that it's even more devastating that you can't fix and you can't solve the problems of the staff. And that's all you want to do as a leader. You know, that's kind of one of your responsibilities, to make sure your team is functioning, make sure your team has what they need and tools. And I think that we're all kind of, I know I'm feeling days of failure that I can't make it better for them, right? And we try all kinds of different things. But I think that's something that weighs very heavily on most of us. Penn Medicine is filled with very high performers, high performing leaders. We are good at what we do. And, you know, everyone here is one of those high performers. And that puts us in the category of, oh, we always achieve what we set out to do. And these days, that's becoming harder and harder. So I think that the lull in the summer was nice, but it kind of set us up because we weren't prepared for the crashing that's coming down now. I think we were all just ready to get out of it. So for my thing, I think we're all very tired, very exhausted, and a little cranky. And I think we just have to, frankly, for me, we have to give ourselves permission to do that. We have to just accept this is what it is. I can't beat myself up because I can't solve all the problems of the world. And I have to give myself permission to say, okay, we're just going to do the best we can. Everybody's trying hard. I just literally got an email from somebody who said, I'm trying the best I can. And I thought, oh, okay, stop. Don't ask anymore. But I think it's what everybody's feeling.
Yeah, Sheila. So first of all, we really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your vulnerability, because I think, as we see on the chat, everyone is feeling it. You know, people are short-tempered, they're angry. It's numbing, not motivating. I mean, I think this is it, and it's really hard juggling home and work. And I have three kids at home. It's just a lot. So Fran, us feeling this, is this normal?
It's totally normal. And I just want to lift up what Sheila said around owning it, right? It's important to accept that this is reality and it is our reality, both collectively and individually. Because then we can, you know, take some steps, which we'll talk about. I noticed that people said I had good self-care, but then it fell off the table. And so that's a good reset. I think we want to think about reset right now, as, you know, the situation is changing domestically with a lot of going back to school and like the kids in particular. The parents with kids right now are the ones who are, well, if we can say extra suffering. Because now they've got a lot more activity that's happening. So that's good news for the kids, but more challenging also for the families who had just started to get used to how do we kind of teach and live and work from home, you know, for some of you.
I think the stress is really taking. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you think I should go macro a little bit to help people?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say it's really affecting our workforce. And there is this notion of reset, the reprioritization, the great resignation. So yeah. What are you seeing out there at the macro level?
Well, you're not alone is what I wanted to say. So we went and found some, let's look at trends and see whether it's unique to Penn Medicine or unique to Princeton Hospital, Sheila, right? Mm-hmm. 4 million people quit their jobs in July. That's a lot of people, right? While we have, you know, all kinds of needs for workers. It's particularly resignation is highest for mid-career. So in terms of your scanning the people in your world as leaders, you know, you might want to pay attention to some of these statistics. 30 to 45 year olds, because again, that's the balancing of the family often. And then part of the pandemic flux thing is like, because the goal line keeps moving, people are really feeling like, what can I control? I just want to control something in my own life. And maybe it's like I can control what I, you know, I can cut my hair, I can dye my hair, like literally in the self, or maybe I can control my environment by switching jobs, right? Or switching careers. So you're seeing that as really a workplace issue. This is a major time that we're going to come back to and be like that. We lived through that, not just the COVID part, but a really shift in workplace behavior. Women are particularly being impacted because of the challenge of the workplace and the home. Black and Hispanic workers are more likely to indicate that they're leaving for a variety of reasons. The challenge of working mothers, women in senior management, and Black women are the most affected right now. That's what the HBR research and Gallup research is starting to show. You'll see that. So we are in a big shift that's happening, which, of course, has implications for leaders.
I'm glad to see Cindy back, and I just pose a question to Sheila and Deb. So do any of these surprise you? How are you seeing this show up? And I let Cindy take over.
Yela, why don't I know you and I were talking about this, and I know you are seeing some resignations up at Princeton. Is this surprising?
It doesn't surprise me. People are leaving for all different kinds of reasons, and the amount of people even going to other industries is kind of shocking to me. I'm not sure how you walk away from what you've been doing for this many years, but I think that I think we need to acknowledge one of the things that we've started to do is, you know, in healthcare, we feel better when we do things nice, right? So acts of kindness, little acts of kindness. One of my directors yesterday went up to the units with candy bars and just walked around and thanked staff, gave them a candy bar, gave them a lunch ticket, those kinds of things. And just little acts of kindness can make a big difference in somebody's day. And I thought that was really very just a spontaneous type thing. You know, we're talking about a 30-day gratitude. We're talking about all those kinds of things. I have a personal trick that I put 5 pennies in one of my pockets, and then during the day when I give a compliment or something good to somebody, I move the penny to the other side. And so if I get to the end of the day and those 5 pennies aren't in the other pocket, I know I haven't done enough for that day. I'm going to graduate to 10. But I'm working on 5 right now. And so just to be able to thank people, compliment people, give them a little lift during the day, I think is one of the best things we can do. But I think that the other big thing for me is I think we're going to take some pauses on some initiatives, really prioritize the initiatives. I feel very guilty going to managers and say, well, can we work on something like this? And I think we need to think about how much that's going to put on them. I think everybody is dealing with staffing, every single department. They spend a majority of their day on staffing. And so when we come and say, oh, it's just this little thing, it could be the little thing that breaks their back. So I'm being more sensitive to, let's try not to comment on everything and to really give people a little bit of breathing room.
Thanks, Sheila. I love that, and I'm thrilled to be back. Speaking of things we can't always control, Wi-Fi is one of them, and thanks for your patience around some of that. Lynn, loved that idea, Sheila, of the pennies. So I'd love to hear from the audience. Are you seeing symptoms of the great resignation on your team? Is this something you're coping with? Some of these startling statistics that Fran has shared, are you starting to see that here? Fran, let me go back to you. And of course, big thanks to Youngin for keeping the ship going. Advice for how we're supposed to be like handling all of this during this time. Like, how do we like keep our composure even though we're really tired and it feels like the finish line just keeps moving out ahead of us? How do we keep showing up as resident leaders? Advice?
Well, I think Sheila gave us a good example, and so I saw in the chat too that isn't that a form of self-care for you, Sheila? And yes,
I guess so.
Right? So That part of mutual, like knowing what brings you a little bit of connection, joy, gratitude, you know, it feels good to affirm your staff. That's good for the staff for sure. So the opposite is to be hypercritical, which some people could get into if we're not managing our stress. They could go around and find problems all the time. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to do that wherever we can avoid it, both because it's stressful for us. If you see this roller coaster of extreme stress. Let me just speak to it for a minute. You know, everybody on this call is probably familiar with an arousal curve, right? You want to have a certain level of like adrenaline for good performance. The issue that we're in now is that this is like a roller coaster. And so we go up, we get hyper, it's called hyper arousal, you get high adrenaline, you become hyper vigilant. That's the part that I'm just speaking to about. Don't like notice when you're becoming hypervigilant so that you aren't then like playing whack-a-mole and like putting more stress unnecessarily on people. So your self-care to make sure that you're keeping your perceptual field wide, you're keeping your emotional state calm will make you more have, you know, better judgment basically about what to say or not to say. So that's just plot number one. It does bring energy, right? So we're like, okay, I'm going to get up for that next shift or up for that big project. The issue, and we've always been saying this about stress in the resident leadership world, is people can get addicted to the adrenaline.
Mm.
Like they need the adrenaline in order to like do it. So they actually manufacture crises. I don't think that's what we're in exactly right now, but because we got some legitimate crises, but just pay attention to that. Certainly, we're seeing more mental health issues in the workplace. I saw somebody saying, I'm always referring EAPs, more anxiety, more depression. That's also people can become numb, right? Where they feel exhausted. And we saw that in the word cloud. Exhausted, numb, apathetic, bored, right? As if nothing is happening. Like that's another way of managing all this up and down, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to own the roller coaster. That's what Sheila was saying. You got to own it. You got to own that we're on it so that you can reset your self-care, you know, plan really concretely, plan your transitions between work. We've always said it, but why? I mean, like, listen to music, figure out what soothes you, switch the channel to a podcast, avoid anything that brings more stress into your life, divisive, TV news, whatever it is. Like, notice what you're consuming and whether consciously, right? So that's awareness. And whether it's actually helping you feel better, good, recovering, or if it's adding more stress. If we aren't aware, we can easily keep that stimulation going, right?
Can I add something to that, Cindy?
Please.
I'm curious, friend. So, you know, we're always told and we believe that staff stay in a job because of the leaders, because of the environment, those kinds of things. You know, it's usually, people say they're leaving for money, it's usually not money. But they stay for those things. And so I'm personally beginning to feel like, wow, these staff are resigning. And are they resigning because of the leadership or the environment or whatever? Or are they resigning because they're just saying, I got to get out of this environment and go to something else because I think that something else will just remove me from what I've just experienced. And I'm worried that leaders will start to believe that this is them, which is then going to put more stress on them of what am I doing wrong? And so I'm just curious what you think about this mass exodus of people across the country, really, resigning one position to go to another that may or may not be better.
Yeah, well, it's a great question, observation, paradox. It's a bit of, you know, so we want the staff to stay attentive to their people, for sure, right? And not give up, like resign about the resignation at some levels. But we also want, that's the macro view, to see that this is bigger than just any one person and one interpersonal interaction. Purpose is still important to people. People are still important to people. I believe that most people don't want to leave,
right.
But you know, they just can't tolerate this situation that they're in. And they're definitely thinking it's going to be, well, it'll be different in some other place, right? Mm-hmm. And different adds novelty. It also adds stress, but it's a different kind of stress, right?
Yeah, thanks. I think those answers are fantastic. And we're seeing a lot of residents in the chat. There are quite a few departments that have been impacted already by the great resignation. And as always, Tammy, superfan, said, yeah, and there are a lot of people also joining Penn Medicine. So they're coming from other places as well.
Right.
Deb, I'd love to get your thought. What can we be doing as leaders to ensure that we are driving engagement and being very thoughtful around how we are, you know, managing ourselves to then in turn create a good environment for our teams who are struggling right now? Are you talking to your team about how they're doing? What are some of the things you're doing intentionally in this area?
I have two team huddles a week, just 30 minutes, Monday and Thursday morning at 7:30. And it's a time for us to touch base and connect, see what's on everyone's mind. And then we have a more formal team meeting once a week. And it's a time for us to share, but it's also time that we really can talk about how we're going to handle the issues that we're facing. And I think one of the things that we are trying to do is to also focus, you know, we have to focus on the future. We can't, it's sure, COVID is here. COVID is not going to go away, sorry, but we're going to go from a pandemic to an endemic state. So we're always probably going to have, hopefully, low levels of COVID. But I think if we can get beyond this current surge, And things start to settle down again. I think it'll be a really important time for us to celebrate with our teams. So I held a really nice dinner at a very fine restaurant for some of the CPUP team in June, and we had a great evening. And it was a time for me to recognize every single individual and talk about each of them and what their contribution had meant to our team and Penn Medicine. And so I would urge you to, you know, start planning. Go ahead, plan a holiday party. We deserve it. People want to get out. They want to see each other. I'm just, you know, I'm really hoping that we'll be able to do that this year. I do think the gratitude and acts of kindness that Sheila mentioned is really important. And really trying to acknowledge the individual, maybe a short note, not just thanks, you're doing a great job, but thanks, you're doing a great job because of or what you did, so they really understand why we are really starting to be a little bit more flexible about work from home again, giving, I think we are going to need to be flexible in the future. You know, maybe giving the employee who can work at home, I know not everyone can, but, you know, what day of the week would you like to work at home? You can't all be out on Friday, but we can, you know, we can work this out. Let's work together as a team. Even if it's a day or two a month, it can make a difference. Tracy Comack did something. She realized that it really helped if front desk staff had a 30-minute break in the middle of the day, not lunch. And so they went and I think they were making pillowcases for charity, some children's charity. But it was, she said, they so appreciated the break and just they could sit there and ditch and, you know, talk to a couple of colleagues at the same time. So I think we have to think of small things that we can do to keep people going. But we also have to think of big things, like we're opening the pavilion in just over 30 days. It's a beautiful building. It's causing a little bit of stress, right? People are anxious. The big move, big change. But let's try to focus on all the good things it's going to mean, the type of working environment, the light, beautiful view of the skyline of Philadelphia, the wonderful private rooms for patients. Like, I think we have to, the beautiful artwork, I saw the mural yesterday, and, you know, it is going to change our lives, but in a good way. So I suggest as leaders, we do try to focus on the positive. We've got to be forward thinking. That's who we are as an organization. That's what's led to our success over these years. But not overwhelm, as Sheila said. Do not, like, we have to figure out what is a reasonable level of work for our teams and accept that, but also support them. And I think we have to, and the last thing I'll say is I think we have to work smarter, not harder.
Thanks. I love those comments. The chat is lighting up and many people agreeing. I'd love to hear specifically from a few other leaders around what they're doing to ensure engagement and commitment among our faculty, providers, and staff during this time. I also want to mention that PMA, we're always really listening to you, to our guests, to our chat, to other leaders. And we heard that some of you could use a little bit of a booster shot with having some of these check-in conversations with people. So Gretchen and the team developed the Reset interview tool, and it came out of the book club with Adam Grant, where we talked about the reset and how important it is to check in with people. So we're going to put a link to that tool in the chat, and I'd love for you to take it for a spin, give us some feedback, let us know if it worked for you, how we can make it even better. We want to make sure we're supporting other leaders in that too. Compassion fatigue, let's go there. Sometimes I find with myself, you know, someone will say that they're not vaccinated and, you know, they have conspiracy theories against it. And I find myself a lot crispier than I used to be, say, in the spring with this topic. And I'm feeling like I'm having a harder time feeling for people. I think it may be ubiquitous. Maybe it's just me, but it seems like all of us in healthcare are kind of in really tough spots, and it can be very triggering. I mean, here our providers are killing themselves. It's our new leaders.
Yeah.
And then they have patients who are very sick, but they didn't get vaccinated. Like, I'm sure people are losing it a little. Sheila, how are you helping people who are in that compassion fatigue, like losing it moment? Advice?
Yeah. I think that, I can't tell you my personal advice is to get into these Facebook fights, but that's a different story. every once in a while I find somebody who says it's a hoax, it's a this or that, and I go, come to my ICU and I'll tell you how much of a hoax this is. I don't even know the person, but it makes me feel better. But I think that staff, we traditionally in healthcare have taken care of anybody who comes in the door, right? If you work in a trauma center, you take care of the person who got the trauma and the person who inflicted the trauma. And we take care of them equally. We don't discriminate against the person who comes in. And so that, I think that has helped staff. But I think acknowledging the fact that the feelings are real, and yes, they did this to themselves, and yes, you're putting me at risk because you didn't get vaccinated, is permission. You have to give people permission to feel that way. I don't see anybody acting differently with patients. I think we've been very lucky that we have very professional staff, and I don't see any evidence of them acting different. I don't hear complaints that they're acting differently, but I think they feel it inside, and I think we have to just acknowledge that's a normal feeling, and you're not a bad person because you feel that way. And so I think just giving people permission to have that inside feeling, as long as the outside care is what it needs to be. But some of it is so dreadful. The families that are affected. We had a young guy die within an hour of our emergency room, and I think that his wife was in another ICU in another hospital, and he had two young sons at home. And so the compassion comes out, like, you didn't get vaccinated, which is bad for you, but oh my goodness, look at what we just happened to you. So, I just think we have to acknowledge that it's okay to feel that way and go on with it. I'm not going to convince somebody not to feel that way.
Thank you, Sheila. Deb, just between us, because you're like my role model of like total evenness all the time. Are you a little crispy these days, or is it just me?
Well, you might have been off screen when I said this, but I mentioned how earlier this week, something really irritated me at the end of the day, and I think I reacted, and I don't normally like to do that. I didn't like scream or yell. I was just very firm about what my position was on this, but I probably, under different circumstances, would have responded a little differently, and so I am trying to be very self-aware. I think that you may see compassion fatigue, and I think it's very understandable given the circumstances. And I also think we're only human, right? And this is preventable. Let's face it. Those that are vaccinated are not ending up in the hospital for the most majority, and they're not going to die. And so it's so sad. I mean, when I read about a university hospital down south where nine maternal deaths due to COVID, right? That just, I'm an OBGYN, and that just is so sad. And stillbirths, and it's so preventable. So I understand. I think when you see it, just there's someone who used to say to me, let's go take a walk. Let's go get a cup of coffee.
Yep.
Let them vent, let them talk it out, and then go back to the floor and I can deal with it, right? So you have to come up with some strategies when you start to feel bubbling up inside and a little angry or resentful that you're the one caring for that patient. Say, it's okay, I understand how you feel, let's go for a walk.
Yeah, thanks, those are really helpful strategies. One other strategy that I saw that really hit me is really around us going to others that kind of dump on them and saying, can you take this on right now? Can you allow me to vent? And allowing that person a yes or a no. Because sometimes as leaders, we just always feel like we have to say yes and take it all in. And we also have to remember that we can also say, hey, I'd love to talk to you about this. May I also come back to you in 15 minutes after I took my own walk, so I'm more ready and in that place to be able to hear it. Thank you for sharing. We have amazing feedback in the chat around what people are doing to drive engagement. A lot of extra rounding just to see how staff are. Kate is hosting her team for s'mores at her house in an evening in October with spouses and kids just to connect. People are sharing PMX feedback to staff. They're recognizing birthdays and life events. Thanks, Jean. Not just when you need to check on things, really just going out and above and beyond. Raina, great comment. We've got to have just recognize the humanity in people. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, Fran, it's been a year. It's really been a year since your last talk. What do you think you've learned about yourselves as leaders in this past 18 months? I'll start with you, Fran.
Good question. I've learned about one, like, sources of my own self-care. So I've probably walked 1,000 miles in my neighborhood in a year. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much, because I can really tell when I don't. So I've reinstated walk and talks. So not everything is on the screen. There's certainly phone calls I can take while walking. I've learned that I like to take pictures of flowers. So it's really, really focused. not big picture, but they come down. I've learned that a lot of the fundamental things that we've just been talking about here and that I really care about and the research supports still work and are still necessary, that we're still humans. We still need human contact. And we have to sort of make some adaptations about how to do it when we're working remotely. Or, you know, I love the suggestions that Deb and Sheila have been saying about teams. I've learned that I still love my team, and they, working with them helps me feel like I'm making a difference. And just learning how to listen, still listening to individual people's individual experiences and attitudes without judgment. It helps me know where they're coming from. It also paradoxically helps me be less judgmental because I feel them as a human.
Thank you. I think that's what Raina was going for in the chat. What about you, Deb? I mean, you've started new jobs, broader jobs, pandemic. What have you learned about yourself in the last 12 months since we saw you last on the show?
Well, recently I get this question. You must be overwhelmed. Are you overwhelmed? Could you not be overwhelmed? And I was like, I really am not overwhelmed. And here's why. I work with fantastic individuals. The leadership at Penn Medicine, the chairs, the COOs, my own, the CPUP and PMMG team that I'm now working with, they are incredibly dedicated, hardworking, supportive. And if I didn't have those teams to work with, I would be overwhelmed, but they make my life easier. They make it enjoyable, and they really care for each other. We have a little something that happens on Friday afternoons where someone starts a text messaging, and it could, you know, it's actually really fun, and it makes you smile on a Friday afternoon. You know, one Friday I started it with a doctor's orders. No emails this weekend. I need you to rest up for next week. It's just those, you know, those little things that happen that keep me going. And I really think our future is bright. I mean, what we went through these last, 20 months, when I see how we did compared to so many, I feel grateful. I mean, I just feel really lucky to be where I am. And that's really what keeps me going, Cindy.
Thanks.
As I've always said, it's a real privilege here, but it's because of the people.
So true. The chat's lighting up with a short video from Brené Brown's website on empathy, and a lot of people have watched it and people really like it. So I wanted to shout that out as well. G put the chat to Brene Brown. I think she has a lot of really good grounding exercises, and some of the things that both Fran and Deb just mentioned kind of go to that. Sheila, I'm so happy to have you on as a guest, and I'd love to pick your brain. Our audience loves it when leaders like you share a nugget of wisdom on how they became the successful executive that you become. Is there a key experience that you had that really shaped you to become the nursing leader and just leader that you are today?
Wow. One experience. I have to say that good mentors along the way, obviously. I had one, this is a telling story. I had one boss once who said, "I know you. I know your kind. You're an insecure overachiever. So, well, tell me what that means." Well, that means you go into a job interview, you sell yourself in that job, you're going to get that job, you're going to be the best person for that job, and then you get the job, and you walk out the door and say, "Boy, I hope I can do that job." So you're constantly striving for the achievements and those kinds of things. But I think, you know, all the different things that I've heard here is so true in terms of this place is a phenomenal place to work. I tell all the orientees that come in, we are one of the few systems that did not lay off people, that we made a commitment that everybody that works here, if you wanted to work, you were going to get to work, right? And if you needed to stay home, we were going to figure out how to do that, you know? And that to me is extremely impressive as an organization. And that is what keeps me here. I've had a challenging transition into the very nice Penn Medicine. I'm a little on the edgy side. So what I've learned as a leader here during this pandemic is to try to be a little more self-reflective and not be as edgy, because edgy is everybody, and then you just make it worse. So, you know, I think that it's helped me recently to kind of just step back and go, wait a minute, what is happening to everybody else? And ask people more often, you know, what is happening? How are things going? You know, really touch base with my leaders. I like to have a phenomenal team. And the people I work with, my coworkers and my peers and my staff, are phenomenal. And that makes this easier. That really, you know, makes this easier. And I realize I don't tell them often enough. And I have to really step back and say, okay, my self-care is making sure that I tell people often enough, you're doing a great job. And you know, I appreciate what you're doing. And I think the penny thing is what keeps me sane right now, because it reminds me to do that. And it's sad that I have to be reminded, but it does help me a lot. So whoever said it was self-care thing, you're probably right, because I do feel better when I remember to say that and when I remember to acknowledge people. But I think that we'll come out of this. I'm very hopeful we'll come out of this, and we'll probably come out of it stronger, but we'll certainly come out of it wiser. So.
Thanks, Sheila. And big shout out to Sheila's colleagues and team at Princeton. We see you. We're so grateful for you. In 1 minute or less, I'm going to go lightning round. I want to know one hidden talent or maybe something many people don't know about you. I'm starting with you, Fran. Ready, go.
No, geez, you always start with me.
Well, because you're like a professional here. I'll give everyone else a little time to think.
That's great. Thank you. First of all, I want to do a shout out for transformational change that can happen in times of this much disruption. So I guess what people wouldn't know about me is that I'm always thinking around the curve, and I think the world is constantly changing and adapting in better ways. So I'm sitting over here like cautiously optimistic that new and better things will emerge, and not that we're going to go back to normal, but actually, you know, use our resilience and our smarts and our teams to like do some innovations.
Love that. What about you, Deb? Hidden talent, something maybe many of us don't know about you.
Oh, I think there's probably some on this session today that know me pretty well. And they probably know that there's nothing that I don't feel like I can't do. I am a glass half full kind of gal, and I see the world that way, for better or for worse. But I do believe that my optimism is what has gotten me where I am in life. And I think it's just always looking for the good in everybody.
I love those statements. We all need a little bit of Fran and Deb. Sheila, hidden talent, yeah. 1 minute or less.
Yeah, I always have total faith in everybody that what their motives are right. They're the right people. Hidden talent that most people don't know about me. I come from a very large Irish family, and so I did Irish dancing as a kid for many, many years. And I'm emphatic about Irish music, and so sometimes when I just want to get away from it all, I sit down and get on YouTube and listen to some Irish music and just kind of revel in our family history and culture and that kind of thing, which is pretty strong. So that's my hidden talent.
Love it. How many siblings?
I have 7 siblings.
Be amazing. Wow, that's a good one. Well, I can't thank the 3 of you enough. Deb, Fran, Sheila, thank you for all of your great leadership during such challenging times. Thank you for allowing us to look at you as role models, to be resonant leaders, even when we're not feeling our best. And thank you for that. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Let me give you a few last minute reminders. We've got a big show coming up on October 7th. It's Preparing for Expanding Value-Based Care at Penn Medicine. This is a little bit of a different topic, but you won't want to miss it. It's going to help you really pivot and learn from people who are already deep in value-based care, as Mitch, Matt, and Roy are, as well as learn about what our strategies for expanding this great work in the future at Penn Medicine will be. Pull up your outlooks. Here are the dates for the rest of the year. We've got some great shows ahead. We're going to celebrate the Penn Medicine Experience. We're still working on that show, but you won't want to miss it. Then we're going to talk navigating career transitions with Regina Cunningham, Greta Gilbode, and Dr. Sharon Hull, an external expert. We are going to check in to say, what are we doing up with our community? And we'll hear from 3 amazing leaders from across Penn Medicine to talk about how we're leading to improve health in our community. We have some additional dates there, so I hope that you'll still tune in live. And I want to just say big thanks to our production crew of Lunch with Leaders. As you can see, sometimes things aren't perfect, but because of this stellar team, we try not to miss a beat. Big shout out to Mike in IT, who has helped us out today as well. So I want to thank you all. We really value your feedback. And believe it or not, we're already starting to plan into next year for additional shows. So please, if you wouldn't mind completing the brief survey so you can give us some feedback so we can continue to improve and ensure we're building topics that you're interested in listening to. So lead strong, everything's there. I want a big shout out to all of you. I know that you're tired and overwhelmed, and the fact that you keep coming back just really says so much about each of you. So I want to just thank you. We see you. We want to thank you for everything you continue to do to show up and lead during this time. I just have mad respect for each and every single one of you. We're so much stronger when we stay together and come together in community like Lunch with Leaders. As long as we stick together, you heard it here, we're going to make it through. So thanks so much for spending some time with us today. I hope to see you again.